This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ew. How is that even possible? I heard a commercial from Match.com when I was in my car on the way to yoga on Monday night. And you know what stat Match uses in its commercial? One of four relationships in the U.S. now begin online. One of four, 25% of relationships begin online. And that could mean an app as well. The good thing is that there's still hope for me because there's 75% of us that do not find their relationship online. So I guess I'm just going to have to be in the majority on this one. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're saying, see ya Monday. It was a manic no panic Monday, but it was still a Monday. So now we're moving forward into Tuesday. We get to talk about candy. Who's bringing the Twizzlers? This is actually a sports question. Generally, when we do a question on the show, it's about sports. But a lot of times our Twizzler Tuesday question, or as it was previously identified, a Twitter Tuesday question. A lot of times those are not about sports. And I did contemplate one that had to do with flicks and films. And then I decided, you know what? There's a lot going on in this show. So instead, we'll wait until another time for that one. It's going to be my ace in the hole Twizzler Tuesday question because I know it will be as much fun as last week when we talked about the top five websites that you visit on a daily basis. But as we're just a few days away from the first training camps opening up in the NFL, what? And since we're talking about this franchise tag deadline that just passed, how much would you pay Le'Veon Bell? He's a franchise back. He's certainly proven that he's a game changer. He's an impact maker. It's been about volume. It's been about production. It's been about scoring. He's the triple threat. Whether it's running the ball, whether it's catching the ball, this guy can do it all out of the backfield. So what would you pay him? The Steelers run the risk of losing him now. They franchise tagged him again, according to our reporter who joined us a few moments ago, but also according to multiple reports, the two sides weren't actually that close in coming to a long-term extension because Le'Veon wants roughly $14.5 million per season, not to mention the signing bonus and everything else that comes along with a long-term contract. That's $6.25 million more than what the highest paid running back in the NFL, Devontae Freeman, earns right now. And we know why. You can find success. You can find a modicum of success, if not Ezekiel Elliott success, with a running back in the draft. A rookie. A first-year guy. The Giants are banking on that with Saquon Barkley. They believe he's worth a high draft pick. Their number one overall draft pick. And you get him for rookie money. Well, his legs are fresh, theoretically. I mean, there's always a chance there could be an injury, of course. But that's the problem, is that you've got young, explosive, fast, healthy running backs who burst onto the scene. And teams are willing to trade in their back that's maybe got a few miles on him. In the case of Le'Veon Bell, 8,000 total yards on him. And they're saying, you know what? We'd rather use that money in another position than to pay our older back when you have a diminishing rate of returns. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying it's reality. Here's Le'Veon at 26. By the time he gets through another season, so going into next year when he would either be, he won't be a free agent, but when the Steelers could either do the transition tag with him, could try to sign him to another deal, or I guess eventually could let him walk. There are multiple options there. I still don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that they come to an agreement, though Bell and his camp, if he has another really strong season, will have some leverage. But he'll be 27. It's dangerously close to the precipice for NFL running backs. Even the greatest, some of the greatest, like an Adrian Peterson recently. The way he bounced back from his ACL leads the Vikings to the playoffs, to a division title, wins an MVP. I mean, leads the NFL in rushing later in his running back career, his running back life. There are exceptions, but very few running backs are still productive into their 30s, and certainly not productive to the tune of $14.5 million per year. And so teams are willing to trade in that veteran back who's done so much for them for a cheaper model with less mileage on his legs. Again, that's reality. It's the reality of the business. I saw some numbers from Sports Illustrated that I want to share with you. I'm going to have to pull them up. I was looking at them in another studio, so let me pull them up here. But it compares what running backs are paid in the NFL to QBs and to wide receivers. There may have been one other position that it compared backs to. There's a reason why teams are willing to let their veteran backs walk. Now, granted, they would have paid him more than $13 million a year. According to Ray Fittipaldo, they even boosted that number. So maybe close to 14, maybe. We don't know the exact number. But they could not get any closer than that. That's a lot of money for a running back. So what would you pay a top flight running back right now? He's in his prime right now. But think about a long-term deal. You're talking about being invested for a lot more dollars. Even though NFL contracts are not fully guaranteed, whatever you would have to give him in a signing bonus, plus the average annual salary that he's looking for. So what would you pay him? That's our Twizzler Tuesday question. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter and also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Mike Tomlin has remained optimistic and positive. First, it was about the fact that the deadline was coming, that 4 o'clock Pittsburgh time deadline was coming to try to complete a deal with Le'Veon Bell. And now the idea is, how quickly does he get to camp? What about his conditioning? I mean, what else can Tomlin do besides understand this is the business? And I got to focus on the football and not the dollar signs.
He's the type of guy that's highly conditioned over a 12-month calendar. So the getting acclimated things, some of the things that other guys need are less important to him. Obviously, we want to get the deal done. He wants to get the deal done. Everybody has said that. Now it's just about the negotiators getting in the room and doing what it is they need to do. I'm excited and hopeful.
He was excited and hopeful, but the two sides still couldn't close the gap. WAVTV, so pre-deadline for Mike Tomlin. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Again, what would you pay a top flight back? I mean, think about David Johnson for the Arizona Cardinals. They're changing quarterbacks. They're changing head coaches. He's coming off an injury, obviously. But they're going to be asking him to do a lot. What about Ezekiel Elliott when it's his turn? He's still in his rookie contract now. But this is what happens. And then I bring up DeMarco Murray again, because after seven seasons, the guy retires. Good for him. Good for him for lasting almost roughly double what the average NFL contract turns out to be. It's about 3.5 years, not quite. So he lasts longer than the average. But he understands the pounding on his body. Just wasn't worth it to go through that anymore. So 7 years. And he was a durable back. And he gained a lot of yards. This is why teams play with this law of averages. It's why they understand. And I'm not all about the mathematical formulas. You know me. I really do put a lot of stock in heart and desire and will and motivation and work ethic and clutch performances. I do. But your body can only do so much. And an NFL running back gets pounded no matter what. Not like a quarterback where you can avoid getting hit most of the time, or if you're Tom Brady, all of the time. It's just part of the gig. And so if you're looking at it as a front office guy, you understand. Sometimes you'd rather have fresh legs, a body with relatively little pounding on it, at a cheap rate, than pay for a guy who at any point could drop off the cliff. I know it sounds dramatic, but it's true. If you watch football, you know it's true. So at 27 years old, when Le'Veon Bell becomes available, what would you pay him per year? A-Law Radio, again, is where you can find me on Twitter. Coming up, you're not going to believe what I did in my own kitchen when the Home Run Derby was entering its final round. I mean, I'm going to be mad at myself about it for quite a while. But it's pretty typical. When it comes to me domestically, I am a good cook. I like to bake. But boy, I do the dumbest stuff sometimes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Can't get enough. We like it when people tell us that they have a hard time changing their local station or turning off the show. Every now and then, it's the ultimate compliment. Someone will call up or send me a message indicating they'd been sitting in the parking lot or their driveway listening to the show still because they didn't want to miss anything. I do that sometimes. Every now and then, I'll be listening to the radio, whether it be an interview or a particular report. And I sit in my driveway and I'll be out there for a bit and then realize, oh my gosh, Amy, you're home. Go in the house. Meanwhile, the dog's staring out the window like, what are you doing out there, Mom? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our Twizzler Tuesday question, the Twizzlers are still in my locker. I was expecting that some other member of the show might be contributing some Twizzlers to the cause, but not yet. We'll see if that's changed by the time I come back from my week away.
The well still has water.
Not for you, because the Twizzlers aren't out here. They're in my locker. So if you haven't seen the latest edition of Pre-Law, Isaac and I had a really nice conversation. We were laughing. We were very jovial. That was fake because of, well, no. I mean, I love Isaac for sure. Right, but it was more about the video than it was about how I actually feel. On Monday night, you're not going to believe what I did. So I get home from yoga, Home Run Derby's going on. It's the end of the first round. I got to see Bryce Harper. I was excited. They dwindle it down to Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper. This is going to be good, la, la, la. But I'm hungry, so I got to get my dinner, right? So I go in and I get some leftovers. I plan very carefully. I had made some stew over the weekend, so I have leftover stew, and I've got some bread and butter, and I'm excited, and I eat my dinner, and all is good. And as I'm finishing up my dinner, I realize, oh, you know what? Pretty soon I'm going to need my coffee for the night. So my coffee had been sitting in my cold brew maker for the last 24 hours. It sits there and it blends perfectly. Anyway, if you have a cold brew maker, you know what I'm talking about. But you have to drain it. So there's a cauldron, essentially, that you have to drain into what's supposed to be a carafe. Now, I broke mine about a month ago, so I don't have a carafe. Instead, I use one of those measuring cups. It's a glass Pyrex measuring cup, but it's not as big as the carafe, the original carafe. So it only holds some of the coffee. And then you have to, after the measuring cup fills up, you have to take it, you have to pour it into the pitcher, and then you have to put the measuring cup back for the rest of the coffee to drain. So it was coming out pretty slowly. Sometimes the grounds are thicker or the coffee mixture is thicker and it drains a little more slowly. So it's about halfway full, and I think, oh, gosh, I don't want to miss Kyle Schwarber. So I go into the living room, and I'm like, I'll let this drain for a minute, and I'll watch Kyle Schwarber, and then I'll go back when he takes his time out, and I'll switch out. I'll pour the coffee out, and I'll refill it again. I sat down to watch Kyle Schwarber with a piece of chocolate for dessert, and I never got back up again, not till the Home Run Derby was over.
Oh, no!
So I walk back into my kitchen probably 20 minutes later. I mean, I don't know how long would you think that the final round of the Home Run Derby took. I walk into my kitchen and I'm ho-hum. I'm rinsing out my glass and I realize there's coffee all over the kitchen counter. I mean, it's not just a puddle. It's a stream. It's like a river of coffee. Why? Because I had forgotten that I had to go in there and empty the full measuring cup, empty the coffee out into the pitcher, and then put it back underneath the spigot where it was supposed to be coming out. So yeah, I just completely forgot. And so, of course, the coffee kept draining because the spigot was open and it overflowed the Pyrex and it went all over the counter. And so not only am I ticked because now I have to clean it up. I mean, the coffee smell isn't bad, but I also just wasted probably 16 ounces of coffee. So the way the cold brew maker works, it's such a thick mixture. You're supposed to dilute it and blend it with water or milk, or I use almond milk and then 2% regular milk and a bunch of ice cubes. You only need 2 ounces of coffee to make a full drink. That's how thick it is, right? It's like coffee from Ecuador. And so I just spilled 12 to 16 ounces of coffee on my counter, and there goes like 3 days worth of coffee. Ah! I was so mad. So I call my mom up and I'm like, you're not going to believe what I just did. And that kept me from swearing and throwing things around the kitchen. So yeah, I had to clean up all this coffee and chuck it out. I had to clean it up and then, you know, wring out the towel and watch all that coffee go down the drain. That sucked.
Any taste of it?
No, Penny doesn't like coffee. All because I was busy watching the Home Run Derby and completely forgot. And this is something I do, I wouldn't say frequently, but on a periodic basis, I will start something and then I'll say, okay, got to go back and do this. You know where it always happens? When I put toast down into the toaster. I push the bread down and I think, okay, I can go upstairs, I can run to the bathroom, or I can run upstairs and get my book, or I can turn on the TV and quick find the channel. And then I get distracted and I forget the toast until I smell the burn. Ugh. Oh my gosh, I'm so mad. Mostly because I just wasted all that precious coffee. So anyway, I blame Bryce Harper.
No, you gotta hit 10.
I was mesmerized by the stars and stripes.
And doing the same thing is fun with a hot Keurig too, because then your hands get burnt. Been there, done that too many times.
Yeah, well, thankfully, I guess maybe that's the only redeeming quality. I only drink cold coffee. It's kind of funny. I saw a bunch of people tweeting because there's another heat wave that's kind of gripping major parts of the United States. And I saw some friends of mine tweeting about how it's an iced coffee day. There could be a foot of snow on the ground and the temperatures can be below freezing and it's still an iced coffee day for me. However, if I run out of coffee by the end of the week, I guess if I become more grouchy, then you're going to know why, because my coffee was all over the counter and I lost half of it. Boo!
I think we can kill two birds with one because of the ongoing Donut Friday controversy here at CBS Sports Radio. I think we can do Iced Coffee Friday maybe instead.
Now, see, you can't just mention that and not explain to the national audience what you're talking about. That's not fair. We don't do inside jokes here on the show. So why don't you briefly explain what controversy you're referring to?
So around here, we do a Donut Friday, which was actually started by our very own Ike. And we bring in donuts for everyone on Friday, and it's a rotating schedule. And there were certain individuals who took exception to the schedule because other individuals didn't bring donuts to their liking in for them to enjoy.
Okay, so, you're being a little bit too vague. In other words, some of the guys didn't like the donuts the other guys were choosing. And so some of the pansy, the candy... I was going to say asses, but that's not really fair. Some of the pansies out there decided that they were no longer going to contribute to Donut Friday because they didn't like the selection. I mean, here's my thought on that. If the donut's free, shut up and eat it.
Thank you.
And if you want to put in a special request, then give the runner a buck and say, here's the donut that I would like. But if you're eating a free donut, beggars cannot be choosers. If you don't like the donut selection, walk the 5 blocks down to D&D and get your own damn donut. Yeah, no, you're welcome. Oh, my gosh. Men, sometimes you guys are such drama kings. So now what are you going to do about it? That's my question. Did you literally cancel all of Donut Friday simply because you're upset that some people were complaining about the selection that you brought in last time?
They deserve to be cut out because they're curmudgeons. So Pizza Friday?
No. I mean, I don't, it's fine. I only usually have like a half a donut anyway, if I do at all. But I feel as though this was a good tradition. It was a bit of a team bonding experience for the newsroom at CBS Sports Radio. So maybe don't get offended over something so dumb. How about just let it go?
So hard. But maybe.
Or, as I suggested, hump day donuts. We'll just change the day.
I like that better because it's like something in the middle of the week to look forward to. Friday's already a great day. Everyone's in a good mood regardless.
The only girl around here is the one who doesn't overreact. I mean, seriously, if it's a free donut, you don't get to get mad when it's not the kind of donut you want.
Fake tough guys.
Oh, yeah.
All over the place.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to my world. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you haven't seen our latest edition of Pre-Law, Isaac and I have a really nice conversation. I mean, it was great. We were so happy to see one another. Chris was doing his own thing, so you'll just have to check that out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. We're also asking you, what would you pay Le'Veon Bell? Would you pay him? Would you let him walk? It's this delicate dance that the Steelers are doing right now.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico with all of your heart. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? You can get it all at geico.com. I do love me some Celine Dion. Man, a voice. She's got a voice. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So a couple of things that I wanted to pass along just to maybe enhance the discussion. A lot of you are weighing in on social media about a top flight running back like Le'Veon Bell, and what he's worth. If you missed it earlier, in 62 games, he has amassed 7,996 yards, which is the most of any player since the merger. The most of any player going back to 1970. in his first 62 games. That's more than Eric Dickerson. In fact, I think it's about 120 roughly more than Eric Dickerson. So he's passed ED. But he wants to be paid $14.5 million. Considering the large sample size on running backs, is that smart? And then I saw these numbers from Sports Illustrated. The average NFL running back makes about 25% of what the average quarterback makes. The average NFL running back makes 70% of what the average wide receiver makes. And the average NFL running back earns about 85% of what the average tight end makes. Now, you do have some teams that are looking at running backs coming through the draft and taking them higher, like an Ezekiel Elliott, like a Christian McCaffrey, now like a Saquon Barkley, though we don't exactly know how that's going to work out yet. But we see more and more guys going in the first round and teams love the fact that a lot of their production is going to come inside the realm of that rookie contract. Teams are still really nervous. They're skittish about long-term commitments to backs. Even one as productive as Le'Veon Bell. Now 26 years old, he's accounted for 30% of the Pittsburgh offense the last 2 years. But how long can he keep that up? With all the pounding, with all the carries, with all the catches, with all the production, how long can he keep that up? It's a rare running back who is still the feature at 30 years old. $14.5 million. He doesn't want it for 1 year. He wants a contract extension that will pay him that average annual value over several years. So again, your average NFL running back earns 25% of the QB salary, the average QB, 70% of the average wide receiver, 85% of the average tight end. Our Twizzler Tuesday question, would you rather your team pay Le'Veon Bell or would you rather your team roll the dice, find a cheaper, younger, healthier, Bell's been durable, but a guy who has fewer hits, fewer miles, fewer carries on his body. I mean, we know what a great running back do. We talked about Devontae Freeman. How key is he to the Atlanta Falcons offense? And think about the year they went to the Super Bowl. He's such an explosive, versatile option that it allowed Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and the others on that offense more freedom to operate, because you can't ignore a guy like Devontae Freeman. You really have to key in on him. But he makes $8.25 million per year. Bell wanted 6.25 more than that. I mean, I got to be honest. I don't think I would pay him $14.5 million per year. I know that right now he's in his prime. But you're paying that for another season. Then he'll be 27. I feel like $13.3 million, which is what the Steelers offered him initially, going back to that last franchise tag, that's really generous for a running back. So if it's me, as much as I understand why Bell and his camp is holding out, in fact, the line from his agent that was really telling was that the team wants to pay the position, not the player. That's Le'Veon Bell's agent, Adisa Bakari. The team wants to pay the position, not the player. But isn't that what's usually the smart thing to do when it comes to running backs? I mean, there's a lot of examples over decades of time about the production of the running back position. Le'Veon Bell's great. And they're getting him for these 2 years with the franchise tag, and they're paying him a lot of money. I don't think I'd do it. Now, it means auditioning for another running back. It means trying to find his replacement. But here's another thing that I feel like is important to consider. The Steelers haven't not won the Super Bowl the last couple years because of their offense. And that offense hasn't been enough to compensate for the weaknesses and the holes in the defense. Think about what happened against Jacksonville in the AFC divisional playoff game at home in Pittsburgh. The Jaguars ran roughshod on them. There was nothing that Le'Veon Bell could do. And here's the other thing. When your team gets behind like that, you're at a disadvantage if your number one offensive player is a running back. Now, I know he catches passes out of the backfield, but he's not a deep threat. I mean, when you're behind, you have to come back. You have to air it out. It's hard for me to think about. $14.5 million per year for a running back. Especially when the Steelers need help on the defensive side. And it's the defense that's kept them from being in the Super Bowl, from representing the AFC in the Super Bowl the last couple years. I wouldn't pay him that kind of money. If it comes down to it, and he won't take less, and he's going to walk, you know what? So another team pays him that kind of money? Maybe he gives you 1 year or 2 years after that. I mean, that you're talking about then almost pushing 30 and being as productive. I think I'd rather roll the dice and see what else I could find. It sounds heartless, and I'm the girl who wants to reward people, but you can't pay athletes based on the past only. You have to pay them with a smart business sense and understand what the trends have shown over and over and over and over with NFL running backs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I see a bunch of you are weighing in on our Facebook page. Vladimir says, I would give him the money. He's a workhorse, and you give what you know you have. Never know what a rookie can do from college to NFL-style play. Pay the man. He deserves it. The problem is, Vladimir, being a workhorse works against you when you're a running back in the NFL. And in terms of a rookie, you're right about that. In fact, I was somebody who said you don't draft a rookie running back. You don't draft him that high like Ezekiel Elliott a couple years ago. So I feel like you can find a serviceable back later in the draft. But it's a smart move for the Dallas Cowboys because they got an incredible back and now they've got him on a rookie deal for a couple more years. But I disagree. I mean, yes, in theory, you're right. You never know what a rookie can do. But running back is one of the easier positions to go from college to the NFL. Let's talk to Cody, who's in Redding, California. Yeah. Cody, you got about 90 seconds. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good to be back, Amy. So my main thing is with the Le'Veon Bell situation. I do understand both sides, but I'm going to take the Steelers' side only because Le'Veon Bell, regardless of how well he has done and how much he should make, he did sign the contract. And like in my opinion, when you sign a contract, you sign for that contract. And I understand he has done everything he has had to do to make more, but at the end of it, make more. The only reason I get a little bit like swayed towards his side, but I'm still hardcore Steelers side, is because the way the deal is set up. So I just kind of want to know what your thought is on that.
Meaning he's already signed the franchise tag, so why should they give him a long-term deal?
Well, I don't want to say they're using him, but like for all intents and purposes, it sounds like they're kind of just using him, which is to their advantage. The way it's
well,
set
okay,
up,
but he's making $14.5 million, which is, I mean, more than six million, more than the highest paid running back in the NFL.
And in the NFL, without guaranteed contracts, I understand that's great. I guess we are picking apples and oranges. So at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal, but I don't think he's going back to Pittsburgh.
All right. All right, Cody, I appreciate that. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I feel like if the Pittsburgh Steelers all of a sudden offered him the money that he was wanting, he might not leave. He might just stay there. That could just be agent speak. You know, we couldn't come to a contract. We've tried for 2 years now. But if the Steelers ponied up what he wants, then he very well could stay. I just don't know that any team out there is going to pay him $14.5 million at the age of 27 at the running back position. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.